Welcome to the Field Advice Podcast from Valiant USA, where we share technical know-how and updates directly from the field, fueled by technology and hands-on experience. Potential shortages of glyphosate and glufosinate are top of mind this growing season. In this episode, Joe Short, Herbicide Strategy Team Manager, and Devin Marshall, a Regional Account Manager with Valiant USA, dig into Fierce Herbicides and Perpetuo as a combination to meet growers' needs for pre- and post-weed control in their soybeans.
Well, hello, and I want to welcome everybody to the Valiant USA Field Advice Podcast. My name is Joe Short. I'm the Herbicide Strategy Team Manager for Valiant USA. I've been with Valiant for 5 years and spend most of my time working with all the different herbicide products, including the Fierce and Perpetuo products that we'll be speaking about today. Today, I'm joined here with Devin Marshall.
Hi, Joe. My name is Devin Marshall. I'm the Regional Account Manager for the southern half of our Midwest region, focused on the southern states, Missouri, Iowa, Nebraska, Texas, and Colorado.
Great, Devin. Thanks for joining on today.
You bet. Happy to be with you.
Want to kind of just get start off the conversation is, what are the concerns that you're hearing from your growers and retailers as you're out in the marketplace?
Great question, Joe. In my travels across the Midwest region, I've had the opportunity to speak with several retailers and growers. And top of mind are finding dependable suppliers that can offer broad spectrum, sound agronomic solutions to their problems, whether it be from a weed perspective, rotation perspective, or even grazing perspective.
What kind of issues are growers having as far as sourcing their products this year?
I think as far as finding product in the marketplace today, it may not be their first or second option, but there are definitely options when it comes to weed emergence and pre-herbicide residuals, especially on the soybean acre, that they can source. It's a matter of finding what works best for the weeds that they're trying to battle in their fields and what fits their soil profile.
What are the kind of the tips that you're giving to folks as far as sourcing products now, whether it be a pre-residual or as we start to get in season? What kind of tips are you giving growers?
Absolutely. So here at Valiant, we work primarily through our retailers and through our two-step retailers as well. And our advice that's best from a grower perspective to them is to reach out to their local retail partner and create a plan based on what those weeds are that they're trying to battle. The retailers are stocked with product today with pre-herbicides from soybeans, even overlapping residuals, and we'll talk a little bit about our perpetual option. But a lot of great opportunity out there with the retail partners that we've positioned product with today.
Great. So, Devin, if I'm a grower and I know that, you know, maybe I've got some of my glyphosate or glufosinate sourced, but I know that it's going to be tight, what's the agronomic recommendation, the kind of the primary one that you put forward to them that they need to do, whether we be with a pre-residual first or in post-applied products?
Well, Joe, when you think about glyphosate and glufosinate, those are both chemistries that control weeds that are already emerged. And we like to think before weeds emerge, obviously the easiest weed to control is that weed that doesn't emerge. So really loading up on the front end with a premium pre-herbicide that has multiple effective modes of action on the weed species that you're targeting is key. So that's where our Fierce brands, we really feel confident in promoting those early season options up front ahead of a glyphosate glufosinate application or in combination with a glyphosate for a burn down in a no-till acre.
Perfect. So you've laid that that residual out there up front. And, you know, we know with the Fierce brands, we're looking at something of, you know, 6 to 8 weeks of residual control as we deal with different weeds, like whether it be water hemp or palmer, depending on the geography you're at. Obviously, we know some of those weeds have later emergence. What are we recommending from a more post standpoint to kind of get a season long control?
Great question, Joe. After a pre-herbicide application has been made, prior to that true post-application, we're promoting a longer residual herbicide option in perpetuo that's truly an overlapping residual to follow up on the pre-herbicide program that has been chosen by that grower.
Devin, I guess one of the things that I'd like to ask is we look at perpetuo, a grower would ask, what makes perpetuo a little bit different than some of the other overlapping residual herbicides that growers could use out there or choose to buy?
With a Fierce brand up front, the purpose in putting Perpetuo behind that is to extend the Group 15 chemistry that we already have out there in Zidua. That's going to give you rotational flexibility. It fits multiple trait platforms, depending on what growers have decided from that aspect. So it really provides a lot of flexibility and extended residual against those tough-to-manage weeds.
So Devin, as a grower is looking at Perpetua, what is it about Perpetua herbicide that makes it a great choice for them to choose? Is there looking at an overlapping residual compared to some of the other overlapping residuals that are either newer to the market or have been on the market for some time?
Excellent question, Joe. Perpetua has the ability to be flexible in any trait system a grower chooses, and it offers long-lasting residual season long. So really bridging the gap from the pre-herbicide application up front to the post-herbicide application to finish out the season.
Also with Perpetua, we know that it's got some kind of post-activity through the having the dual two modes of action in the premix. What kind of gaps does it help fill in either with the glyphosate or glufosinate from a post-control perspective?
The synergy and the resource component paired with the glyphosate or glufosinate helps on velvet leaf specifically, would be a great example of a weed that maybe you would pick up in that mix that you wouldn't have had as much activity on before.
So Devin, earlier in the conversation, we talked about, you know, first off, on a comprehensive program, selecting a pre-residual up front that's a foundational piece for weed control and weed management. And you mentioned the Fierce family of herbicides. You know, what do you step through with growers as far as, you know, because with Valent we have three different options within the Fierce family, what do you step growers through as far as making that decision on which Fierce brand to choose, which fits their field the best?
I think it really comes down to three things in my mind, Joe. So I try to walk through with that grower what their problem weeds are and what that weed pressure looks like. And after we get to the bottom of that, going through things like soil pH, rotational flexibility needs, things of that nature really come into play. Our marketing department here at Valent has done a phenomenal job of putting together a tool that we refer to as the decision tree. Find your Fierce formulation decision tree. Joe, can you take us through what that tool will do?
No, absolutely. Appreciate that, Devin. As you mentioned, we do have, as growers can go to Valent.com and go to any of the Fierce brands and go through the decision tree. And basically what it does is it asks some simple questions, but important questions as far as what that grower needs from a weed spectrum for their, what they're looking for pre-residual control, maybe any issues they're having from soil pH and those pieces that may restrict one of the choices they have, and really kind of fitting into what their overall needs are. So the decision tree, although it's simple, it really kind of helps them make the decision based off their agronomic needs and their geographical needs. So it really gets them into that one of those three Fierce products that makes the most sense for their field and their operation.
And I think having that tool on there is a real nice way to guide that conversation as well. So as you're clicking through and identifying the problem weeds, you can click and at the end, it will show you a result based on the selections you've made. Here is the best recommendation we have of our Fierce family of brands.
The one thing that I forgot to ask you earlier, Devin, is as growers are making decisions on weed control options and timing and different things they can do, what about from a fall application standpoint? Does it make sense for growers to look at some type of a product in a fall application to help manage weed populations and seed populations from that perspective? Talk us through kind of what you work with your customers from that perspective.
That fall application, Joe, has gotten a second look over the course of the last couple of years. Growers are trying to figure out ways to be more economical with their programs, but be more targeted in what they're doing and why they're doing it. And we have an excellent option in Valor, whether you choose the dry formulation, the Valor SX, or we offer it in a liquid formulation in the Valor EZ. It's a phenomenal fit. The other thing that I've encountered traveling the Midwest is we're in cattle country, and that's a big concern. Grazing corn stocks going into the fall, is that an option? What are the restrictions? And Valor EZ and SX both offer a grazing component that other competitors in the marketplace don't necessarily have. So that gives an edge up to that fall application, because that can be something that determines whether that fall application takes place or not with the cattle component. Absolutely. I'm seeing more and more of that fall application concept take off across the Midwest.
And as you look at that fall application concept and that gaining more traction with growers throughout the Midwest, is there specific kind of field situations, tillage practices, things like that, that the fall application with a Valor EZ or SX fits best for them?
Absolutely. As you travel the Midwest, two weeds come to mind, mare's tail and kochia. The mare's tail component is a really tough weed to battle come springtime. That is a weed that's very hardy. It overwinters well, and trying to battle that in the spring with a burn down can become tough as planting windows lessen and as Mother Nature throws weather curveballs. That's definitely something in a fall application that you can rest easy knowing spring will get easier from that aspect. The second weed, kochia, we have seen phenomenal results by putting a fall valor application out when that weed specifically is involved. So I think those are the two I hear the most about, and those are the two, as you look across the landscape, that we've really gotten traction trying to control in the fall.
One thing that Devin, obviously over the last few months, growers, any of ourselves, I mean, we've been kind of consumed by supply situations with products. You know, fortunately here at Valent, we have some constraints here and there, but we've been in a good situation to help growers out through their retailers and getting products that they need, hopefully for the season. I guess as I look forward, once we get past this year and if you look into the next seasons where maybe supply constraints on certain products like glyphosate or glufosinate aren't as big of an issue, we've talked pretty heavily about, you know, using a pre-residual and a post-residual to extend some of those products and manage that supply. But let's talk about a situation where that doesn't exist. What makes sense for these growers from a residual program? Does it still make sense to invest in that same type of program as they're looking at this year, maybe because they're driven more from that supply management standpoint of other products?
Absolutely. And Joe, I appreciate you bringing to light that the supply constraints that we feel here in 2022 may expand into 2023. But there is promise and positivity in the fact that we're going to have chemistry to apply in some way, shape, or form. So really getting strategic and thinking about why we are doing what we're doing as we're applying these chemistries is going to be key. There's not going to be necessarily an excess of any product as you look across the landscape throughout our industry. But planning ahead, putting good practices in place for sustainable multi-mode of action, pre-herbicides, overlapping residuals, and even post-herbicides is going to be key. What do you hear, Joe, industry-wise, as it relates to Valent and some of the things that we've built messaging around from multiple effective modes of action, layering residuals? Do you feel that concept's resonating in our industry today?
I think if you look at what's been going on over the last 2 to 3 years, there's probably thoughts that as the auxin technologies came in the marketplace, that maybe growers would back away from residual products in multiple modes of actions. And what's actually happened in the market space has been the exact opposite. I think growers look at their needs in managing. I mean, you know, all you got to do is hit a hot button like water hemp or Palmer, depending on where you're at. And that perks everybody up, and be able to manage those weeds and managing weed resistance. As we know, as things have evolved and Mother Nature evolves, managing weed resistance is critical. So growers have been stepping up and willing to invest in multiple modes of action, effective modes of action. So that's what's been really important with the product, whether it be Fierce EZ, Fierce MTZ, or Fierce XLT, to work that into your kind of program, because managing weed resistance is going to be critical now and in the foreseeable and the long-term future for agriculture production to be successful.
I agree. Would you say that you're feeling that over the course of the last 12 to 18 months, growers are really starting to plan ahead, whether it's from a fall application, fertilizer application, really taking a hard look at what commodity prices are doing, what they foresee them to do, to kind of base those decisions off of?
Absolutely, Devin. I mean, it's a great question to ask, because I think the supply issues with certain products in the marketplace this year has maybe accelerated people's thought processes of plannings. But I think that as growers are looking through and they know what works and doesn't work for them, they don't want to be left short. So I think growers are stepping up and they're purchasing products like whether it be a Fierce or even a Perpetual from a post-residual piece. They're building their plan out sooner and they're getting those products purchased in place so that they're ready to go as the season hits. And I think that's an important roadmap to follow, because we hope that 23 looks a little bit different from a supply situation in the industry than 22, but that's really hard to predict at this point. And I think it's going to be really critical that growers continue to proactively map out what they need and what they want, so that they're not sitting at the sidelines and put the plan together now versus waiting to get what's available for you later on in the season.
And I think that's such a promising trend, Joe, because as we look to 23, 24, 25, and even beyond, implementing that kind of strategy to plan ahead and really pencil as much out as you can, knowing that you're going to have in-season flexibility, will carry us through, the rest of this decade.
Absolutely. I mean, there's, you know, fortunately, as Valent USA and our parent company, Sumitomo, we're investing in technologies through our pipeline that'll come down the road in 5 to 10 years for growers, as well as other companies. But I think it's important that you got to know the here and the now and the tools that you have to manage the issues that you have to manage out in those fields. And using multiple modes of action is going to be that piece that's just, it has to be ingrained in everybody's head that if we're going to manage weed resistance, you need to do that. And doing it up front is so critical with a pre-residual, because you're able to manage weed resistance so much easier, because Dr. John Pollock talks about you're hit less sites of action in the plant to worry about versus once you're trying to control something post, there's a lot more opportunities for resistance to develop.
I'd like to bring you back, Joe, to a minute where you referred to some of the data points that you're seeing and the trends that you're seeing over the course of the last couple of years. Are you really seeing that quick adoption to a multiple effective mode of action pre-herbicide versus trying to maybe load up more on the back side of the program than the front end?
No, it's a great question. So it's one of the things that we've watched as far as what growers' practices and trends have been. And over the last 3 to 4 years, growers have consistently, I'd say 70%+ of the acres are getting a pre-residual up front. So that's, you know, when you look at maturity, we've expected to stay there. And so growers continue to stay there. But I think the other important to look at is growers' choices of a pre-residual. Each year, it continues to increase of looking at products that have not just one mode of action, but 2 or 3 effective modes of action out there. So not only are people putting a pre-residual out front, but they're investing more on that acre up front. So, and I think that as we look at then the post side of it, as we do have great technologies through the Oxen technologies and trait enablement to use those type of products from a post-application standpoint. But we also know managing, you know, the late emergence of weeds like water hemp and Palmer amaranth is so critical. So growers are not only just investing in a post-residual, but they're investing in a post-residual that has more effective longer-term control like a perpetual.
And I think that key word you just said there, Joe, effective modes of action. And I think that is the new challenge in front of us as industry leaders and in front of our growers that we're serving, is really identifying from the weed spectrum that we have that we're battling in our fields, what are the most effective modes of action and how do we get them out there in a fashion that we can maintain and sustain going forward.
And Devin, that is why we brought a product a couple years ago like Fierce MTZ to the marketplace. If you look at a product like Fierce EZ, there could be a lot of acres where Fierce EZ and Fierce MTZ may perform the same if the weed pressure isn't heavy. But as you start to get really heavy weed pressure, especially with some of your tough to control weeds, that's where Fierce MTZ really shines, and it's worth that investment because you're adding that third effective mode of action out there and just increasing your overall probability for control.
And how great is it that we have a robust line of pre-herbicide residuals that really fits any acre? pH, rotation restrictions, active modes of action that are effective on the weeds that they're trying to conquer. We have top to bottom through our Fierce brands and our Valor brands an option for every acre that we encounter.
Not only is it something every acre we encounter as far as a weed and spectrum need, but also from a timing need. So as you mentioned, the importance of fall applications with something like a Valor EZ or SX to set up for a better spring, you've got that ability to use a product that hits from a timing perspective that you need. And then once you get into the spring part, having those choices of products that really fit the agronomic and geographical decisions you need to make. What, as you look at the Fierce family of products and we talk about sustainability, how does Fierce and the Fierce brands fit in a grower sustainability program?
I think it goes back to the flexibility of application. This is a brand, a family of brands that fits on a conventional acre, on a no-till acre, on a minimum till acre. There's flexibility in application. There's flexibility in how you position it in the platforms that you're going after. So I think sustainability, I think there's a lot of different definitions in our industry when it comes to the word sustainability. And I think it has different meanings based on the program you're talking about, the approach you're talking about, whether it's a conventional acre, a non-GMO acre, or a heavy tillage acre, you know, heavy black dirt that we're going out and we're working really hard beginning of springtime to start clean. So I think there's a lot of different options that our portfolio provides no matter the acre, whether it be conventional or a heavy tillage acre.
Devin, that's a very important part that you bring out is sustainability does mean different things to different different people, and it can in different growers have different situations that dictate what type of tillage practices they do or need. But the nice thing is, if you're a grower and you want to be a no-till perspective, having the products with the Fierce brand of herbicides really enables them to have that effective growing conditions in a no-till scenario. But also, and you get into minimum tills and more conventional till situations, our products fit well because it's going to reduce the amount of applications from a post perspective. So there's different ways of getting at sustainability, and I think that you've kind of really hit on how the Fierce family of products and with the Valor products really help growers kind of tailor their needs and look at their sustainable production practices.
Thank you for joining Valent USA for the Field Advice Podcast. We hope you've enjoyed today's conversation. For more field advice, find new episodes wherever you get your podcasts and anytime at valent.com.